and to arrest any Zimbabwean official, citizens or others that seek to actually transgress the arrangements that we have at our border post. I think those are just my comments for now, Chair. Thank you. Comments and questions. Thank you, Chair.
I think we must correct the issue of questions that are raised to the minister. We don't have the minister in this meeting. It's us as the committee only to deal with our report. So if maybe we'll have questions to the minister, we'll get that opportunity maybe in parliament when we raise questions to the minister. But for now,
we'll draw those questions to the minister, Chair. It's just all of my thoughts as I was preparing for the meeting.
No, I understand this is so frustrating, but those that will follow or are reporting, please don't raise the questions to the minister. We don't have the minister here. We talk to the report and the comments, the amendments, as Honorable Tring has done so. Thank you.
Chair, just quickly, I've got a member of the media who's contacted me to ask if they can join the meeting. I sent a message to Nola to ask. I'm not sure what the procedure is on that. I don't want to send them a link if I'm not allowed to. Apparently, the link they were sent is faulty. It's Jason Felix from Media 24.
Okay. I struggled, even myself, when I tried to get in, saying that the link is invalid, but I tried it for the second time and then I was able to get it. Since the meeting is open to public and the media, I don't see anything wrong. Lola, is there anything wrong?
Chair, as you rightfully put it, according to the rules, every member of the public is welcome to join our meeting. However, they can only look at the document on the screen. They are not allowed to take it away for publication if it has not yet been adopted. Thank you, Shepherdson.
Nola, would you mind sending the link to this person quickly? I'll put it on the group. I'll send it to you just because it's my turn to ask the question, so I don't want to waste everybody's time. I'll send you his WhatsApp number. Thanks, Masirot, I appreciate it. Chair, thank you very much. Just before I start, I'd like to say I read through the SCOPA report and then I got our report, and I have to commend our team. It was chalk and cheese between the two reports. SCOPA report was good. Our report was outstanding. So I really would like to commend our team on a brilliant report that was very detailed and very, very well structured. There's some corrections I'd like to make. On page 3, we speak about the PICC and their pricing was less. I need to just check what I've made notes in my document. Let me just check quickly on what I want to correct. Forgive me. Okay, page 3.
I think I've seen what you want to correct.
All right. So the PIC, it was at the top of page 4. And the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission found that the price was less by at least 17 million. I think we must just clarify that their calculated price was less than what was charged, if that makes sense. Because if you read that, it looks as though the price was less by 17 million of what it would have been. So if we could just make sure that that's very clear on there. And then just a spelling mistake on the last paragraph, the third last line, it says 100 kilometers of fence comprised of gaps and areas that it should be were no longer sound. So just take the H out of the where. Does that make sense?
I did pick the word up and I've already fixed it on my document.
Okay, cool. Okay. And then also it says the 100 kilometers fence We're talking here about the 100 kilometers. Why are we talking about 100 kilometers here? The clearance certificate was for 700 kilometers that was signed off on the 10th of March.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then on page 5, the second payment, it should read the second payment. A second payment was halted by the Department of Public Works. It's that last paragraph before it says the DPI made the following inputs. You've listed that the second site clearance was halted by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. It was the second payment.
So was it the second payment, not the site clearance?
It wasn't a second site clearance. So what happened was they made that payment of 21 million, and then ostensibly the minister put a stop to the second payment that should have been made. She stopped any further payments.
Thank you, ma'am. Noted.
Okay. Then the first line of the next section, the department clarified, who was the site manager? I know we have the principal agent, but you're talking, there was a site manager. We don't know who that was. And then also you talk about the principal agent who received a percentage of the contract. I think it's also important to clarify, the principal agent received his own amount. It wasn't a percentage of the contract. But the principal agent's amount is calculated as a portion of the contract or as a percentage. So he didn't get a percentage of the contract, he got his own amount. And if you recall, the minister said she was only aware of the 37 million, and then apparently later on she found out about the 3.7 million that was being paid to the principal agent. So he was paid 10% of the contract value, but it wasn't a percentage of the contract. It was a separate amount, if that makes sense.
So you're saying
the percentage of the contract value.
Okay. That's what I wanted to establish.
Okay. All right. Then the next sentence, we talk about mechanisms were in place, but human failure and non-compliance resulted in the overpayment of the contract. Human failure, to me, indicates, you know, just an error or whatever. I don't think there was an error here. There were particular decisions taken and particular activities undertaken. This wasn't human error. It wasn't just a mistake. So I think we must be careful about assigning the blame to human failure as opposed to saying that there were mechanisms in place. But people actually ignored those mechanisms, and that resulted in the overpayment of the contract. It wasn't just an error.
Chairperson, may I come in? Chair?
I forgot that I'm not not unmuted the mic. No, Lola, you may come in.
All right. Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Graham, the reason why we've put it like that is because it's exactly what the DPWI stated. I remember the acting DG strictly saying it was human failure and non-compliance. During the briefing. So remember here, we are dealing with inputs that were made by the DPWI during the briefing. So we are now not at liberty to change the words to suit what we're trying to achieve. We want to capture it as they said it. Then ours would be then to say, what have we found? We can chop and change all the words then in the findings and the recommendations.
All right. Now I'm happy with that.
Thanks, Chairperson.
Then just on the same page, we talk about disciplinary charges were brought against 14 personnel in the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. I think you must add there as well, and in the Minister's office, because Melissa Whitehead is one of the people with charges against her, and she's in the Minister's office. And according to the Minister, will be disciplined under different rules to the officials. So I think we must say in the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure and in the Minister's office.
Chair, may I just come in quickly?
Yes, Honorable Yo. Mr. Shui.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe we must, I'm coming in because I see my colleague typing, Chair. We're used to interrupting one another when we type. Right there where you move the cursor, Nola, let's say specifically the advisor in the Minister's office.
Perfect. I'm happy with that.
That's all she's
mentioned. Including the advisor in the minister's office.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's one of the 14.
Chairperson, may I come in? Sorry, Tinez. These issues that were raised, the way they're written here is as reported at the meeting. I do not recall the issue of a specificity in terms of the advisor in the minister's office. I think the thing is what we're doing here is reporting as the briefing from the department during that session that we had. If there's additional information, then I think it would have to come further along when the committee makes its recommendations. Thanks.
Thank you, Inez. I think Ms. Martinez alluded to this earlier on, that this paragraph that we're dealing with are the inputs from the department. Then we'll have our own findings. Let's take it as they were reporting. Remember, we made our notes, and then we have our own findings. Then if we need to, remember, it has been 14 all along. It has been 14, 14, 14. Even in the media, it's 14. So if we want to then specify that amongst that 14, there is a DG, there is, if the DG is there, there's DDG, there's also advisor in the office of the minister. We then say that in our own findings. But let's treat it as the 14, because the report, it says 14. And remember, the report now is of public knowledge. And those 14 people are listed. The public and the media knows who those 14 officials are. So let's put it in our own findings. Not I think let's correct if there is a grammatical error, especially in the one of the input from them, and add something that we feel that our team has left out in the input of the department. Then when we come to the findings, we then put it the way that we want as the committee. I'm just appealing that we do that. Ne? Just let's correct if there is the grammatical error and all that, let's correct it. Then if we feel that there's something that has been left out from what they were presenting, then we add it. Then we go to our own findings. That's where we need to concentrate on.
Okay.
Yeah, your guidance is correct. May I just suggest that we, as a collective, just remember that what we took out there need to then be under consequence management in our recommendations.
Okay. Thank you. All right. The second last paragraph of page 5, it says the appointment of the principal agent was found to be irregular. And then it says here, worked for the department 2 days before being appointed. That wasn't the case. What happened was they were appointed 2 days after the contractor had been appointed. That is what is irregular, because ordinarily a principal agent is appointed before the contractor. They are responsible for assisting the contractor with the bill of quantities, the scope of works, etc., etc. In this case, the contractor did their own bill of quantities, their own scope of works and everything, and then 2 days later, as an afterthought, the principal agent was appointed. And at that stage, it was an unnecessary appointment. So that was what made it irregular. So it wasn't they worked for the department. They were appointed 2 days after the contractor had been appointed.
Yeah.
Okay. Chair?
Yes?
I see Nola is typing again.
I
was just saying, as it has been explained, that whatever is there is what the department has reported. And I think that we must take all the points that Honorable Sam has raised, we must take them to what we found. This is what they reported to say 2 days before the principal agent was appointed. But what we know is that the agent was only appointed after everything was done. So I think, as you've recommended, that we must look at the grammar and everything, and then we take everything. I don't know if Honorable Sam is willing that we must go to our own findings, and then she states everything that she has raised at this moment, and then we put it there, because that's where it's supposed to fall under.
Thank you, Honorable Siwisa. I thought on this one, there is something wrong written only on this point. It's not that he was appointed. He was appointed after the contractor has been appointed. And I think they reported that. It's also there in the SIU report. But we must continue. Let's continue. Okay. Yeah. Go back to what you had written. Yeah.
All right. So then on page 7, under the PRCC team provided the context in terms of the contract. A 2016 contract was used for the specifications. And then it says here, this indicated that the fence built was meant for domestic use, not to function as a border fence. I don't recall anybody ever saying that it was meant for domestic use. The point is, we don't know what those specifications were. Nobody's been able to give us the specifications. So I don't think that was accurately captured. It was never, I mean, they would not have built a fence for domestic use. It would not have been designed for domestic use in 2016. The fact is that the way it's been structured or built has indicated that it was for domestic use, but I don't think it was initially designed. Those specifications from 2016 would not have been to design a fence for domestic use, if that makes sense.
Okay, may I come in?
Kevin, I also wanted to come in on that one. Okay. Ms. Martinez?
Thanks, Jefferson. If we can still remember, there was a gentleman there. I think his name was Johan Leroux from the SIU. He's the one who made it a point in his presentation that this was meant to be of domestic use, meaning it was only meant for erection around the buildings that are at the border post.
Okay.
Not as a border fence.
Maybe then just clarify that so that indicates what was said.
May I come in again?
Okay, Shreep.
No, Chair, it's just that I want us to just remember what it is we are doing or what we are struggling with here. We're struggling with something that is devoid of enough information. But what we do know is that the 2016, or rather that the whole project for Baitbridge of 2016 had more than one component. The one was around the buildings, and the other one was actually the border fence. The actual border fence has always been a 2.2 meter height. Around domestic buildings of the border post, there would then be the 1.8. But what I'm correct about is we do not know, and the Honourable Member also, we do not know specifically what the project that was implemented now, although it used 2016 specifications, what those specifications was, because the bill of quantities was kept quiet because there was irregularity and corruption being.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if I'm making sense. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Shreep. On this one, I'm with Ms. Martinez, the guy from SIU stated clearly that the specifications that were used were for a fence that was supposed to be used around the buildings, not for the border. As we saw, that one was said clearly. I think in many interviews that I managed to go to, I have also reported as such. So we may just maybe in brackets put in around domestic, just to indicate that it was for the buildings. That's why we're saying domestic use. But they mentioned this clearly. If you remember when we were there, after the first 20 kilometers, was it on the east? Yeah, after the first 20 kilometers on the east, when they were reporting to us before we had to, after we have driven off for the first time, the first 20 kilometers on the east, when they reported to us, they told us that, that those specifications that were used there were not for a fencing, for border posts, not, they were only for the buildings. Maybe offices or whatever, but around that, but not there. They mentioned the thing. I've written it down in my notes. It's there.
You see, Chair, I think we must be careful. We understand the whole story, but this is a report that's going to be tabled in Parliament, and that anybody else who reads it needs to understand what we understand. So, you know, that's why I'm being a bit fussy about wording and stuff, because I think it's important that that is clarified, so people know what we're saying. So, but thank you for that.
But I think Nola has put it clearly now.
Yeah.
What is domestic use all
correct.
About? Yeah, thank you.
No, I'm happy with that. Right. Then under the those points, the findings, I don't know if it's relevant, but I think it is something we should maybe put at 4.15. While we were standing there being briefed by Johnny LaRue on the first side that we went to, when we got to the end of the fence there, while we were being briefed, there were two people standing in the riverbed waiting for us to leave so that they could cross. We actually took pictures of them. So I think it's important to put that in as one of our findings, because it was something, it was so blatant. And where we were at, the 20-kilometer fence ended, and there was nothing beyond that. There was absolutely no barrier whatsoever beyond that. It didn't even sort of link up with the old fence or anything. It was just open. So I don't know if you feel it's important, but I think it is relevant to the fact that, I mean, these people were completely unfazed by the fact that there were like 50 people there and police and armies and whatever, and the two of them stood there patiently waiting for us to finish our meeting so that they could cross. But we can decide if we
want to
put that in, if that's relevant.
Nala, on the findings, can we, oh, are you through now, Samantha?
I've just got one last thing.
Okay.
On the recommendations. So on recommendation 5.4, we've said there commences consultations with the Minister of Defence to get additional patrols of the borderline to continue till the breaches in the fence have been fully repaired. The Minister said yesterday in Skopa that no fence will ever be adequate. That you know, they've got to bring in all sorts of other things like drones and you know, proper technology, et cetera, et cetera. Part of the issue we're dealing with is that, I don't know if you're aware, but there are people who come over from Zimbabwe every month to get their SASSA payments, as an example. Until we deal with the issues in Zimbabwe, people are still going to be coming over, no matter what kind of fence we put up. So at this stage, the fence is of such a poor quality, nothing is actually going to make it suitable. So should we not actually revise this entire thing and say that we will continue to repair, I don't know at whose cost, but those repairs are never going to last. They're going to continue to breach the fence. And it's just going to be, you know, putting good money after bad. And potentially what we should do is reincorporate these 40 kilometers into the 700 kilometers that need to be redone and look at putting in a proper fence. Because at this stage, the fence we put in is worthless. So I think that's something we need to debate on that recommendation. Who's going to be paying for the cost of the repairs? It'll never be fully repaired. So it seems like a bit of a waste of a recommendation. Right, I'm
Thank
done.
You. Thank you, Honourable Graham. Honourable Siwisa.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I hope the network doesn't fail me. Chairperson, I have a bit of a concern because originally we knew there's 14 officials included for mismanagement and whatever. And then yesterday I heard there's 13, and I've got this thing that the minister always changes her story depending on the platform where she is. But nonetheless, I want to, in the recommendations, the minister needs to be held accountable what the whole thing that's happening. Because according to the PFMA, you need to schedule for tendering of contractors. In this instance, there was no proper tendering, there was no proper legislations followed in order to make sure that everybody else gets an opportunity to bid for a tender. What actually happened is that the contractor that was put in for maintenance was actually put in to come and do the fencing without the department knowing if these people have the expertise put in place in order for the fence to be put up. That's one of the things, because we also need to find out. She needs to give us a reason. It should be maybe in the recommendations as to what informed her to take a decision that a contractor that is being appointed to do maintenance is now being appointed to actually erect a fence for the purpose of keeping illegal migrants coming into South Africa. And yesterday when she spoke, I caught the meeting in the middle because of the network problems. But what I've picked up is that she said that the fence, even the Minister of Defense said it also, that the fence is not going to be effective. She also said that the fence is not going to be effective. We need to look into sensors. We need to look into drones in order to make sure that people don't come in illegally into South Africa. And I'm wondering, because also we need to, maybe that one will be asked, or it can be written into the recommendation as to recommendation. She also needs to give us reasons why she actually approved in the first place that a fence should be erected, if later she's going to say that the fence is not working all out in all of those things. And also, can we also include the recommendations that Honorable Sam made pertaining the people in the office of the minister? They must also be included. It should be a recommendation that those people must also be investigated. And also in the recommendation, we should also need to get it clarified to go to the officials that we are speaking about, including the DDG. Are they still actively at work, or have they been suspended waiting for the outcome of the investigation? But my point is, at the end of the day, when a chairperson, the buck stops with the minister. So what is she doing? What happened for her to actually go for a contractor that at the end of the day does not have the expertise? We can assume that this person does not have the expertise to erect the fence, but has the expertise to do maintenance. And then she closed out the other people that were supposed to be to have been given an opportunity to erect the fence, because that was also raised yesterday in the SCOPA meeting, that people came to find out what's happening now. And then they were told that, no, we've already found somebody else. The PMFA was grossly violated because no proper channels were actually followed. I don't know how Madam Nola is going to capture that recommendation, but my recommendation is based on the legislation that is stated in the PMFA, that tendering needs to be done, procurement and everything needs to be done, but in this case that was not done. So she needs to tell us as to, we need a report, what informed her decision to go with the contractor that is there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Can I come in?
Yes, please continue, Honorable Matebula.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Very briefly, Chair. Chair, well, the report says that the President deployed soldiers up until the 20th of September. And now we are already in October. And the issue of, border fence is still an issue. We are not told whether those soldiers will continue to be there until when, and whether the soldiers are still there or they have been removed. If one can get clarity as to what is actually happening. And another matter, Chair, is a matter of the defense itself. There was a reason why we put the fence there. While we all agree here that there were some irregularities that took place, and heads must roll. But we are not getting any report that says, is there going to be another fence that is going to be reinstalled? Because it has been clearly said that the fence that was there, one, it was not meant for border fence, it was meant for domestic purposes. And what do we do? Are we going to live with this, or are we going to have another fence which is fit for the purpose erected? And if that is to happen, when will that happen? I think the report must be able to speak to that, because you still have the influx of residents or citizens of Zimbabwe coming over South Africa. And hence I said that there was a need, of course, to erect such a fence, even though there was corruption that then took place, which we are dealing with. And, well, the other issue, Chair, is the matter of the involvement of the office of the minister. The office of the minister was being briefed from time to time. And we have reports that say there was a direct involvement of the minister. But what I find it to be very disappointing, Chair, is that you only have those 14 or 13 officials who have been suspended, who are also facing criminal charges together with the contractors. But there is no anything said about the minister. And for I want to say, Chair, that I have a problem with the investigation that was conducted by the SIU as to why they couldn't pick up the involvement of the minister in the matter of the Bay Bridge fence. I'm not so sure if there's going to be a second leg investigation, but according to the look of things, there's no such. Now, I ask myself a question as to whether is there anything that the minister is being feared of if she is being investigated, or this was an oversight on the part of the SIU to pick up the involvement of the minister. We all know by now that there is a matter that is before the courts of South Africa between the minister and also the DG, in which case the DG does cite the fact that there was an involvement of the minister in the issue of the Bay Bridge fence. It's not the matter that we are dreaming of. It's a matter that is there that is being spoken about in the courts of South Africa. So, Chair, in a nutshell, I just want to say that we need a report that will actually indicate if indeed the minister was involved or not involved. And if the minister was involved, why is the minister not cited in a report as a person who also needs to be investigated? And because we have said it, the issue of the corruption, it's not you receiving money. Even issuing instructions is also instruction. I mean, it's corruption. So if then it's that to be found to be true, it means that criminal charges, they must be laid against the minister. Because no one should be excluded when it comes to the issue of the law. All citizens of South Africa, when you breach the law, you must face the consequences, irrespective of who you are. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Mashele.
Thanks, Chairperson, and greetings to colleagues. Chair, I think we must start from what triggered the visit. What triggered the visit, it was the issue that we saw on the media, and when we had a meeting with the minister, I think it was in May, she dismissed what we were raised. We then agreed that probably we must go and see what is happening. Had the minister became honest to us and gave us and responded accordingly, I don't think we'll have arrived there. I have observed a level of inconsistency from what the minister we will respond from the minister's response time to time. Public Works have got the responsibility to make sure that our borders are safe. We might not have the technical understanding of all these other things, but we are from there. We are from Bay Bridge. We have seen the fence. And there's an understanding that what kind of a fence should be there. Honorable Trin says you went to the fence and you pull it down. The quality. Fence you.
Honorable Mashele, I think we have lost you. Honorable Mashele, or is there anyone who can hear Honorable Mashele?
No,
he's frozen, Chair.
Yeah, we have lost him. I think he must try again. Let's move on to Honorable Hicklin. We'll deal with Honorable Mashele later on. Honorable Hicklin.
Thank you so much, Chair. First and foremost, I want to echo Honorable Graham Marie's comment that our reporting staff, our reports are absolutely superb. They really are incredibly well constructed and very well thought out, and really props to everybody in our research and in our support staff for the excellent work that you do behind the scenes as well as during committee meetings. As you know, I wasn't at the site visit, but I was able to get a fair enough assessment from the report. My normal comments that I think we need to somehow incorporate either in conclusions or recommendations, and most important of those is consequence management for the minister. She cannot be absolved of responsibility. It's not a case of washing hands and saying it's not my doing. It happened before my time. orange overalls are needed. It didn't happen before your time. Let's get that very, very clear. I think one of the other recommendations that we need to look at incorporating is ensuring that there is ongoing cooperation and support with the Department of Defense, particularly in terms of border control. Because I think that is, in essence, the very reason that we that this whole thing happened. I do see that, but we have to, we seriously have to make it mandatory. It can't be a nice to have. It must be a mandatory thing. The Department of Public Works is responsible for X. The Department of Defense is responsible for Y. And the two of them have to get together in order to get the desired effect, which is an impermeable fence that withstands the attempts of illegal immigrants to penetrate South Africa's borders. It's absolutely imperative. I think we also have to hold the various departments who are giving us reports to account in terms of the scant information that is provided to us. We as a committee can only make informed decisions based on accurate reporting. These are just recommendations that have come to my mind, A, while I was reading, and B, while I was listening. We really and truly need to strengthen the work that we do as a committee in our job as oversight to ensure that where there are shared concerns, that the people we share the concerns with, in the, such as the Department of Defense, work as hard at addressing issues as we do, because otherwise our commitment and our work amounts to absolutely nothing. Going on to the 14 officials who have been suspended, do we have a timeline for when the consequence management or the disciplinary hearings are going to actually be finalized? It's all fine and well for someone to be put onto full pay suspension for a year, sitting at home twiddling their thumbs, while the taxpayers are paying for them to have a holiday, and we, as the department or the committee, rather, are doing absolutely nothing to ensure that they are actually brought to book. Are we able to put in timelines by which time X needs to happen? A disciplinary procedure has to take 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Put a timeline in so that you can either be cleared of the allegations against you, or consequence management has to be put into place. I don't want my hard-earned tax money paying for you to have a holiday sitting in your home when you have defrauded the South African taxpayers. Those are just my comments. Thank you, Chair.
I don't know whether it's Honorable Mashele back.
I'm back, the person.
Okay. Can you then continue? We lost you there. Can you continue, Honorable Mashele?
Thank you very much, Chair. As I was saying, we have got the responsibility as a portfolio committee to do oversight over the minister. Now, without beating the bushes, let me go to the findings. My view is that in the findings, we should include the finding that will say the minister issued an illegal instruction to the officials. The office of the minister was central and involved in all the processes. Why I'm raising this, Chair? At one point, I was the manager in the office of an MEC. When I wanted to bulldoze officials, my presence in the meeting was the MEC. It is not an accident that the minister issues an instruction that there should be a VO, and the next thing, his office is there in all the meetings. It's not an accident that a contractor is appointed before specifications are drawn. Those are the two findings that I think we should add there. On the recommendation, Chair, our first recommendation should say the minister must be held liable, responsible for the role she played in the process of the Bay Bridge fence. The other recommendation that I want to put is that electric fence must be renovated and be commissioned back again for the safeguarding of that particular border post.
Mm.
On conclusion, Chair, we will not be doing justice, Chairperson, if ourselves as a committee, Nola, can you flag in the conclusion part? We'll not be doing justice, Chair, ourselves as the committee, if we are too hard on the officials who have acted on the illegal instruction of the minister, and we are seen to be too sweet on the minister and behave like we do not see the hand of the minister in this whole thing. We are here as members of parliament representing society and including these workers. It cannot be that the person who took oath of office give illegal instructions, and on the basis that when you invite the department, she can come here on conference and hear a name, and we think that parliament is the executive authority accountable. Parliament should use its constitutional powers to continue to monitor. Not the officials. The officials are secondary in this whole thing. Parliament must use its constitutional powers to continue to monitor, to make sure that the minister, because to some of us, we must not be afraid of the minister. We want consequence management happening to the minister. When you're done with the big fish with the minister, you can go to officials. Why do we want to start with officials, people that we don't know? As the portfolio consequence management, he then said, who assisted the minister in all of this? Then we'll go to officials. So if we're not going to do that check, and as a portfolio committee, if our teeth is not going to bite the minister, whatever we're doing, smoke screen will just be doing PR exercise. Here we have a minister who violated the oath in office, gave illegal, the custodian of policy in the department gave illegal instructions. The report is there from Treasure. But even before the report, on the meeting, I think it was the 4th of May, when we had an alteration with the minister, at some point I had to say, Minister, can you respond yes or no? You were here. Because you could feel and hear that the minister is not responding to what you are saying. Yesterday, the minister tells you this, today she tells you this, she called press conferences, she says something else. It cannot be. This minister does not take this portfolio committee serious. And we're seated here, we want to delve deep into people who are far from us. We don't have a mandate to summon officials. We have a mandate to summon the minister. The minister continuously mislead us as a committee. And we say nothing about that. What consequence management do we have? What is it that we must do? We must help, must hold the minister accountable, and we should be able to show also the officials that we are serious when we say we want to fight corruption. Here is a corrupt minister who continuously mislead us, who gives unlawful instructions to people. It is also our responsibility to defend those that the minister have given unlawful instructions. So I'm saying, Chair, I'm going to sit here and wait for your summary on how minister to account. Thank you very much.
Honorable Van Skalwijk, your hand was up, but now it's no longer up. Are you covered, honorable member?
It's Shabalala.
Shabalala didn't even raise her hand.
She arrived late in the meeting.
But honorable Van Skalwijk's hand was up. Honorable Shabalala, you say your hand is up now. I'm just checking with honorable Van Skalwijk. She indicated that she has a challenge of network.
Yeah. Yes, I'm quickly running through before I get kicked out again. Chair, I'm not going to repeat what the previous members said, even though I'm supporting many of the statements and recommendations, including the findings and observations that has been made. But one key observation, I think we need to make an emphasis, Chairperson, and it needs to be included in our report, is the fact that this portfolio committee chairperson strongly agree and support the original intention of this erecting or of the borderline. I think when we recall that the original intention was, in terms of COVID-19, to ensure that we curb the illegal movement of people between South Africa and Zimbabwe to contain the spread of the virus. And I think that needs to be included in our report. Then, Chairperson, moving forward, we know that there's a report that, or that there was an investigation by National Treasury also. So we need to ensure that we also get out of that report of National Treasury so that we can familiarize ourselves with their recommendations and the findings that they've made. Then, Chairperson, when we look at a contractor or a service provider that has been appointed in terms of ensuring that there's maintenance of the borderline across South Africa. And if we look at all those issues in terms of the borderlines, it's clear that the intention hasn't been reached. So though that contractor or service provider that's been appointed to ensure that maintenance takes place in the borderline across South Africa, it didn't play its role effectively. So we need to ensure that we look at the appointment or the reappointment of that contractor or that service provider. Then, Chairperson, lastly, I want to make the recommendation that there should be continuous engagements between Department of Public Works, between the defense, as well as between Home Affairs, to ensure that we make sure that there is sustainability in terms of efforts to curb violations in terms of borderlines, but also to ensure that there's joint effort to make sure that this kind of thing that happened in Bay. In short, Jay, I'll pause. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Honorable Van Skalwijk. Honorable Shabalala, you are the last.
Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies. I was on time in the meeting, but I was on the wrong meeting.
until they will equip me back to the correct meeting. My apologies. Chairperson, I would like to, I will not dwell too much onto the details of what but
Honorable Matebula, please mute your mic.
Thank you. The Minister
Honorable Shabalala.
Yes, Chair. The Minister commissioned the fence using the wrong legislation. That is in itself, it's not excusable. That is one of the findings, finding number one. She is the one that commissioned, but using the wrong legislation and changed after 2 days. So for me, she is also liable on this transgression that we are appointing. But she's the one that commissioned using wrong legislation. Secondly, I am aware that at the moment the Minister of Defense is mobilizing or is has pronounced that she's going to use the SANDF is going to use the drones. I would have suggested that can't we align ourselves and say in our recommendations, can the department also implement the drones, but also align it with the job creation in a sense that you have people that are going to operate this, people that are going to operate these drones, not to be given out as part of the tender, but they can be bought, but people from around the area get the job. And also, the issue of the minister's staff, I think it was three of them. Now it remains one, and every time it's being minus. But for me, can we include, can we make sure and in our recommendations that all the staff, because we may not know, maybe in court you'll find that there have been five. Maybe in future there could have been six, but all the staff in the minister's office must also be suspended and be charged. But I am wondering for myself, if the minister is also implicated, how does, is she not supposed to be excused from this process? How do you discipline people when yourself, you are supposed to be disciplined in that respect? The minister has put the stop on the other payments. I don't hear the mention of the CFO. Now, for me, sometimes the minister is the player and the ref. I would have thought that the minister would have instructed the CFO to not to pay. But at the same time, if the minister was getting the reports on daily basis as she had indicated previously, how come is this payment then the stop afterwards? It doesn't mean that when you don't have the money in the bank, then it means you are absolved from corruption. You are an enabler. What we cannot find out is how did you benefit and how will you benefit in the future? Thank you so much. honourable members, I don't see any other hands. I don't see any other hands. The report to me, Nala, I will round off what the honourable members have said, but it's just my comments now. The report to me has captured the essence of our visit and also what was presented to us as we were there by the department, by SIU, and also what we saw when we were there. Some of the issues that I wanted to correct, I think they have been raised by Honorable Graham. That issue of the a project less, it would seem as if it is less, but we know that it has been overcharged by that 17 million. So I think you have captured it correctly when you corrected it, because we can't say it is less than 17 million, but the person who is another service provider is saying that what we could have done it at a far less amount. But I think you have captured it correctly, because when it was captured earlier on, it reflected as if what was there is not what we're saying. But you have captured that correctly. There are many issues that the honourable members have raised, but I would want to touch on some of it. One, honourable members, I think we all agree that it is necessary that our borders are monitored, our borders are fenced to manage the crossing of illegal migrants. We are a country with a constitution. It can be someone comes in, someone goes out, that person not being known. So the issue of the fence, we all agree, it is a necessary issue that we ought to have as this country. Two, the fence has to be maintained. I think I agree, though, with those that are saying that the old fence must be commissioned. And we even said that if you look at the two fences, you'll find out the one that was decommissioned is still in the, what is still better than the one that was recently constructed in terms of the material used, the one that was, you can see that a material of a substandard was used to construct this new. But also, members, we can't, as this committee, to me, jump to other committees' issues. This department, which we are monitoring and oversighting, which is Public Works, what it does, it constructs, it maintains government assets. But when it comes to issue of, as Honorable Graham is saying, that we need to deal with the issue of Zimbabwe, I think that one, it's an issue of Home Affairs, it's an issue of DERCO, not the issue of Public Works. What we all agree is that there must be a way of monitoring our borders in the form of the department that is responsible for the assets of government. It must construct those fences. But the issue of Zimbabwe, it's not our issue. It goes to Home Affairs. Two, we all agree that it was necessary at the time we all agree that at the time when the president declared the state of emergency, there ought to be a way to ensure that to try to curb the spread of COVID-19, there ought to be a way of maintaining our borders. So an emergency procurement was necessary. But an emergency procurement, there are regulations for it in the PFMA, which in these instances were not followed. So really, PFMA in this instance was violated and it was not followed up to the point. On that one, we all agree. And I'm happy that Honorable Siwisa is quoting me here verbatim. I'm not sure which media house that I was speaking to when I said the bug stops with the minister. Honorable Mashele is correct. Ours were oversighting a department which has its executive and its political head, which is the minister. So we can't only talk about the officials. The minister has to be held accountable for all that has happened under her nose. Remember, we were informed then that there were weekly reports that were given to the executive. In this case, the minister, the deputy minister, and the DG by the project manager. There were weekly reports on what was happening there. So it shows that those weekly reports, they were wrong, as it is clear that nothing was done according to the book. So I agree with the members that are saying that we can't say that the minister here in this instance is safe and what she is accountable. So she must also be taken to book. The officials that have to be charged, suspended, taken to DC, we need to get a report on that one. We need to get a report. I think in the next meeting, Nola, you must write to the minister. We need to get the report. But how far are they with the with all the consequent management that are being done in terms of this project? Those officials that are listed there, including her advisor. What is happening now? The 13 versus the 14, I think we also need an explanation because it was 14 in that draft we saw from SIU. I would have expected an addition to that number, not a reduction. Because if you look at that, there is a lot. There are other people that, to me, with my eye, not the one of an investigator, that also failed this country by not looking and monitoring what was happening there. So to hear now that it's no longer 14, it's less, we need to get a report on that one. But why now has the number has been reduced? I also agree with the members that are saying that we need to get all these reports. Treasury, the report of Treasury, if you all remember, even yesterday, Treasury was found wanting in the SCOPA, as you were watching the deliberations of the SCOPA yesterday. Treasury didn't have its own report there. We also need that report, so I to move forward. I think, comrades, honorable members, I think so far, as this committee, we have done so well. We need to be this aggressive. We need to have in Xhosa amehlo ekati abona kude. We need to ensure that we see all that is not there. This committee saw this issue of the Great Bridge. From the onset, even before the investigation, we raised red flags and we raised questions that were not answered by the committee. So, honorable members, to me, we have done well in this issue, and it means that whatever that we move forward with, and even in other projects, we must be like what we have done here in the Bay Bridge when we played our oversight. Ms. Nola, on the recommendations, that talk to the role of the minister, it must appear, as all we are agreeing, that the minister has to be held accountable. Yeah, I think on the recommendation, that one, it has to appear. I don't know whether I'm still writing Nola or doing what. Is Nola still around, members?
Yes, Jefferson Nola's here. I'm just listening to you speaking.
Okay, I'm saying that on the issue of the recommendations, the issue of the minister has to appear there. In fact, maybe on the findings, we find out that minister also didn't play her role, because minister has a responsibility of oversighting the department, the DG, and all that was happening. She was receiving reports weekly, but she failed to see that what was being done was not done. So she has to be held accountable. Her instruction gave us what we have today, because it was on her instruction that we have what we have. But on that one, we can also not divorce, because remember, the accounting officer, when the minister or any politician instructs you to do a wrong thing, you need to write it as the accounting officer and indicate that according to PFMA, I cannot do this. You need to write that back and take it to the minister. So the DG also failed to do that, but the minister also has to be held accountable. The bug stops with her. I don't know whether honorable members, you want to have another bite, so that we can move now to the minutes.
Honorable Chairperson, I would have liked to come in before the members can
okay.
come back.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. I was taking notes as the honorable members were putting were giving us their inputs. So I've got some responses for the issues and some comments for the submissions. Honorable Matebula made mention of the issue about the soldiers that were deployed by the president until the end of September, and that there's no indication on the report as of what happened with the soldiers and what then is going to happen now vis-a-vis what we went to do. On that point, Chairperson, we indicated earlier that on the report we had placed the information that we gathered as we got there. So whatever else that was not reported to us thereafter, we wouldn't know and it wouldn't feature on this report. So what we knew at the time was that the deployment of soldiers at the border, at the land port of entry, was up until the 30th of September. And that's what we reported on. That's one. Secondly, the issue of the minister being held responsible, which needs to be factored into on the findings as well as the recommendations. That one, I can assure you, honourable members, because it came across from all honourable members very strongly. That one, I can assure you that it will be incorporated. The only reason why, Chairperson, I stopped writing is that one, it needs to be. We need to apply our minds when we are drafting the actual recommendation. Specifically because by the nature of our reports, our recommendations as a committee are addressed directly to the minister. Because if you see the first line on recommendations, it says, having considered the findings that emerged from and are evident in the deliberations, the committee recommends that the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure does this, that, the other. So the nature of these recommendations is basically crafted as to be addressed to the minister. So we are then, based on what the honourable members require we are having to construct a new recommendation that speaks about the minister, not to the minister, so that we can capture exactly what the honourable members would like to see featuring on the report. The minister's advisor being included on the report, that will surely also incorporate into the report. The reason why we did not include it up there was because that position also of the advisor of the minister forms part of the 14 as per the SIU report. Which brings me back to the issue of reports. I hear honourable members requesting the Treasury report and the SIU report. All those reports were submitted to the honourable members before we went on oversight. We managed to get all of them from SCOPA as they were presented to them. So we have them in our possession, and honourable members have also had them in their possession since before we went to Bay Bridge. So those reports are in the possession of the committee. Maybe we should just revisit them to refresh our memories. Honourable Fanskalvaik also requested that we add onto the objective of the oversight visit, which should be on page one, that part of the reason why we went there was to basically also contribute to ensuring that there's no spread of the COVID-19 virus. That also will be incorporated into the report. The 13 versus 14 staff members of the department that were charged, or rather are supposed to be charged, or they were found guilty according to the SIU. The reason why we have listed 14 here is that the information that we have written on the report, again, is based on what is contained on the SIU report, which says 14 strictly. And I think, and this is just my thought, I think the 13th speaks to the individuals and the 14th being the actual company, which was Magwa Construction. I think that's where the confusion is. But basically, according to the SIU report, we have 14. As a parting shot, Honourable Chairperson, I think some of the recommendations, I heard Honourable Graham Murray stating that also according to what she heard the Minister of Defence saying yesterday, that the fence will never be effective. Perhaps it will also assist the committee that we're going to visit the Jersey Barrier Wall in KZN at the border of South Africa and Mozambique this coming weekend, because that is some sort of a border barrier that we're going to see there, and how it has been constructed. And obviously, it'll give us a good feel of how possibly effective it's going to be as opposed to the actual fence that is in Bay Bridge. So I think on that one, Chairperson, we are yet to learn as we go to the oversight visit in KZN. Thank you very much, Chair.
Chair, may I come in, please?
Let me also check, but these hands, they were there previously. I want to check whether any other members that want to take a second bite other than Honourable Graham Murray.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I took my hand down and then I did put it back up for a second bite.
Yeah, okay. It's Honourable Graham, it's Honourable Tring, Honourable Mashele. Those are the three hands that want a second bite. Continue, Honourable Graham.
Thank you, Chair. Just two things here. With respect to what Nola was just saying now about the Jersey barrier and all of that sort of stuff, I still believe that our recommendation with respect to the repairs to the fences needs to be looked at. I don't think we should be throwing good money after bad, and I think we need to get another opinion as to whether or not it's even worth effecting repairs, but also who's going to pay for those. When I put in a question to the minister a long time ago about the fence, I was advised that the fence had been erected according to the manufacturer specifications, and we were still waiting for sign-off. That means that until we've received that, the company should be effecting those repairs free of charge, and we need to get a report on whether or not that is being done, or whether or not it's going to be an additional cost to the department to keep repairing the fence that is of a substandard quality. So I think we must re-look at that recommendation to say maybe we need a report on who will be responsible for effecting the repairs, what the sort of cost of that will be, whether or not we can claim it from Makhwa going forward. And then just finally, somewhere in the report, I think it bears noting that the minister was invited to attend this oversight. My understanding is that she didn't even respond to the request and that she didn't even bother to send a member of her staff or anybody. So there was nobody representing the minister's office there, which I think is not a good look for the minister, and it's not a good reflection on her viewpoint on this. So I do think somewhere in the report we must make note of the fact that the minister actually failed to even respond to the invitation to attend the oversight visit. I support everybody's call that the minister must be the first person held accountable, because every single action that happened on this fence emanated from the unlawful directive that was issued from her office. So it doesn't matter who we blame going forward, none of this would have happened had that directive not been issued. And I think that's quite an important distinction to make in terms of where we're at. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Tring. Honourable Tring.
Mute. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think I just wanted to check very simply whether NOLA had also captured the fact that there were two dates for that meeting, the 20th and the 28th, and whether she would make the correction, because it would appear then that there were actually two meetings that the minister conducted instead of one, that was in January. And then the second correction would be with regards to the breaches, whether it's 115 or 122 breaches. And then I think thirdly, I just agree also with my colleagues with regards to the minister also needing to be held accountable. But I also think that we have to be careful in terms of our language that we use, where we begin to, if there's still a process that has to be conducted, we've got to be careful of not finding a person guilty even before a process has been conducted. So I think how we couch it and how we word it has to be done carefully. And I think NOLA was alluding to that also earlier. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Mashala.
Thanks, Chair. I think probably let me align myself with the latter speaker that maybe in our language and how we raise this thing, we should do it in a manner correct. I want to be schooled here. We claim that Parliament holds the executive accountable. I want to be schooled on the how part. Let's take it under general so that we are schooled ourselves on how do you hold them accountable? When you see wrong things, how do you go by? Maybe that will empower us. The last thing, Chair, which I think we should consider moving forward in the future is that and I think at one point I raised this. When we approve the APPs of the department, it must be clear on where they want to go and spend and the how part. That will assist us to save money of the taxpayers. Because if we don't do that, seated here, if you don't know where the department is spending this money, it makes our life difficult to do our oversight. So I'm saying, I'm raising this chair so that in the future, let us be thorough on the APP such that we know the department must tell us if it's going to spend 10 rands in Bay Bridge or in wherever. We must know so that we have a clear track unlike now, all of us were reacting here on the big bridge border thing because this thing was in the meeting. But in the ordinary, we're supposed to know it's a process that did not start now during COVID. The process, if you look, it's a process that started way back before COVID was there. But because we are disempowered, we would not know. Tomorrow you wake up in the morning, in your own constituency, the department is doing something, you don't know. And we will have the media running ahead of us. And I'm raising this for the future, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Shabalala.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just one issue that I think I forgot. Shall we not say anything about that? As the committee, we are aware that there are court proceedings around the Bay Bridge issue. Just to say in conclusion, we will be following closely and monitoring the proceedings of the courts and the judgment, etc. I'm saying this because when you produce this report and recommendations and something comes out of the court, then we would have said maybe would have thought about this one. I am not sure whether it's okay to say that we are mindful that there is a court case around a Bay Bridge and be monitoring closely as the committee. I don't know.
Thank you. Are you true, Honorable Shabalala?
Yes, Chairperson, I'm true.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Shabalala. And again, I will hand over to you, Nola, and Mr. Shu'aib to respond to the honourable members. But I want to remind the honourable members that when we go for oversight visits, in going to the joint one in Bainbridge, it was not for the first time that we've gone to oversight as this committee. And also as the in this sixth administration,
I can switch to data
because when we went to Pretoria, the minister was there only for the first day. The other days, the minister was not there, and as such, we didn't raise issues on that one. So we can't say that she didn't honor the invitation on this one. So I just wanted to come on that one. Can you then respond, Nola?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll start with Honorable Thring's input about the dates. Yes, the dates have been highlighted on the report for review. So we'll come back and correct those. And also the issue of 115 versus 122 breaches, that also will receive attention as it were. I think Honorable Mashele is asking, how does Parliament hold the executive to account? The process goes from first and foremost.
I feel usually when I dare to go out of the shop, I can't make my own words like, you know, Thank you.